right now, let's start, we'll talk about some of these. And let me just show you the screen to begin with what's going on here, which you probably, how many people, you've had this for a little while on your computer? The download?
No.
Okay. No? You said no? Okay. Good. So then I got somebody who doesn't know, and we'll go right to it. I don't mean that you don't know, but you hadn't. Okay. So you got over here, you have your Bible. This is where you get all your books, right? So you can got New Testament, Old Testament. I have First Thessalonians pulled up. I have 2 and 13. You can see it highlighted there, I believe. Okay. Let's just look at these. This is where you would, the left side of the screen is where you would choose your Bible. Let's go to another Bible book and let's see. Philippians. There's also 4 chapters in Philippians. And let's go to Romans. Now we know this. 16 chapters in Romans. And so we go up here and pick a chapter, let's say 5, and then it comes up on the Bible. See, this is the center is the Bible. This is the basic screen. This is the way from the get-go it comes up like this. Now you'll notice I have a ton of commentaries and Bibles up there and so on. You don't have to, you don't need all. It comes with the King James Version plus the King James Version plus. Who just downloaded it, right? Okay, you get those 2 things, and plus you get the Strong's commentary.
That's amazing.
Huh? Yeah. So when you go, that's all part of faith. So when you come, notice how I take the word faith and I roll over here and I get pistos, which is a Greek word for faith. And then if I click on that, the dictionary comes down here. It gives you a whole dictionary meaning of the word, the various different meanings. Now you can. You can call up different dictionaries, like the this is the Strong's dictionary down here. So here's your verse. This is where you choose your scripture. That's where it shows. This is the dictionary down below. Over there is your commentaries, and below that is your editors, and they call it editors, and that's basically because you can. When you study, I never used that. They changed this a little bit, I think like 2 versions ago. So you used to pull up your resources, like if the institutes, if you're looking at Calvin Institutes, you used to pull them up down here and you would read them down here. They changed that. There's a resource section you go to for that. And so that was the only reason I ever used this because which is not to say that it's a bad, it's that you shouldn't use it. I think you should if you want to. Like study notes. Say we're looking at Romans 5:1 here and we're kind of interested in it. So I click on that, then I can go over here on study notes and I can link and now I can write a study note there. So it's got Romans chapter 5, verse 1 there. So I can write a study note in there if I want to. And the next time I pull up Romans 5, 1, it will be there. So if I made a note on someone, so I don't want to have to try to remember the next time, I can put it in there. Normally when I was using eSort, I use it to build a message, right? And so I would have my Word. I would be building all this stuff in Word.
Can't see this because it won't turn around if I move it. It off saying I'm driving, and so it's putting in safe mode. The computer cracked out. So I can't follow anything. I can't see anything.
What?
That's the program.
Okay.
But I keep losing the sound, so it's just a nightmare.
Okay. So, are we paying attention to him? Or no? Okay. So, so we understand what the windows are up there. So you also have the topic notes, which is a similar kind of thing, and you could do a similar thing. You can write whatever you want in there. These are ways just to – so every time you go to a Bible verse if you want to make a note, like if you're going through a topical study and you bring up various Bible verses, you can put the notes into that. It's handy to just edit it. You can also have a journal in there if you want to. Journal notes. I don't use it, but some people might. So I'm going to show you something else that you're going to, this is something, most of you use Word for word processor. Okay. They have, what do you call it, different things you, this is what I'm looking for, the word. You forgive me, I'm old. There's a, you can put a macro in Word that will, if you highlight a verse in here, hit that macro, it'll appear in, or you hit, you'll hit the macro in Word, and whatever, and then the whole, the Bible verse will pull up, and you can stick it right into Word, boom, directly, without ever typing it in. So that's a very handy thing if you're doing some kind of study. All right, another thing, since we're looking at the screen here, there's nothing we can do. Listen, if you want to just look at the Bible, there you go. Hit the B up on top. You see where my cursor is up there? So the first one with the different screens, that's showing that's the original view. This one opens up just the Bible window. This one opens up just the commentary window. And this is the dictionary window. And this, of course, is the editor window, which, by the way, if you're going to work with the editor, is probably a better way to do it, right? So instead of working in that little space in the corner. So those are all available over at the top of the screen so you can have the different windows. We'll talk about setting up, if anybody's interested in the daily Bible reading thing, we'll talk about that later. So this is just the basic tree. Now, you don't have to have it like this. If you look up in the corner of each one of these divisions, you see that little pin up there? That pins it to that space. This is the normal space. That will pin it there. But let's say I don't want that there. It's taking up space. I click that, and it disappears. Well, where does it go? It goes over here to Bible books, and I just mouse over that, and it pops back out again. But I can get rid of it, okay? And I can do that. You can actually move them around on there if you want. I don't bother with that. This will come out, I'll go up here, and I'll pin it again because I like it there. I like to know what I don't want things moving around on me when I'm working. I want to know where they are. So anyway, let's talk about how to – I probably should stick to my agenda. So we were talking a little bit about the free downloads and the there's a various things available. Scott even brought me a paper that has more that he downloaded, but let's show you where they are. Say you want to download. It used to be you had to go to the website. You had to leave here and go to the eSword website and do the downloads, which was fine. But then they incorporated this. Rick Myers is kind of like. Microsoft, they're always looking to add something new to it, even if it doesn't need it. Anyway, that's my opinion. Whatever. So we have the download here. We go to download, and let's, we're in something weird because it's not doing it. Am I online? Oh, it's proxy setting, so I guess I can't. I'm not using a proxy, am I?
I don't think so.
Proxy for what?
To get online, because I can't seem to get online with this. But in any case, what will happen if you go on...
Let's hook you up direct. So you keep talking, I'll hook you up direct.
Okay. So if you go to that, hit the downloads, what happens, you go to the place where all your downloads are, or the op things you can download, and you just click on them. You highlight the ones you want. Don't be that way. You just highlight the ones that you want, and then those then they'll download. And then whenever you want, they'll just be highlighted. They'll be set, and whenever you want, you can put them into your program. It's real easy, and you can build up a. The key here to my discussion is, well,
you have one of these new computers that won't allow you to click up correct.
I have a thing for that.
You do.
I thought it isn't that it?
No, that's something else, because that is no way that's going to fit in.
Yeah, I don't know. Sorry. All right, that's not going to be that one.
Any Wi-Fi experts here?
No.
I think I know the password.
Well, he's supposedly in.
Well, we're on the line. We're online. I've already done it because I've got the...
You are online.
Yeah. Not to worry. See, but, see, this is all mine. This popped up. I'm in.
Yeah,
you're on.
Yeah. So I don't know what that is.
I don't know either. Not to worry.
I don't know eSports. So.
Okay. Anyway, so we'll get to this in
another technical place.
It's not. Let me open up eSport again. So it'll be simple enough when you're able to. You'll open up. It's fairly self-explanatory. Then you can download all these things into the computer, and the next time you turn the computer eSport on, all those things will pop up. Now there are like the Bibles. Anybody here speak a different language or more fluent in a different language? Okay. If you were Spanish or Russian or whatever, there are Spanish, Russian, all kinds of Bibles available for free, and you can download those so you can read it in your original tongue. You'd have, I think, a hard time studying it in that, though, because all of the other things are in English. But if you just like reading the Bible in that, that's available for you, too. So you have all these different Bibles. And let me show you some of the cool things about this. How many people have had interlinears or I'm trying to think of the word, a comparison study Bible where you have the different versions in there that you could. Has anybody done comparisons when you're studying the word? Like you see, you're reading the NAS and you go like, I wonder what this says in the King James, or I wonder what this says in the, and so you go pick out your King James and you open them up and you read them. Well, it's almost the same. So now you got what's called a compare. You got every single Bible that you have in here opens up for the verse that you're on, and you can compare them all. And can anybody see where that might be helpful?
Absolutely.
Because what you wind up seeing, these are different translators translating this, right? So even if the Greek, and we're going to get more into, even if they use the same Greek word, some people translate it differently. And not way different, is the meaning is still the same, but there are slight differences. We're going to look at that in just a second. I'm going to show you how there's another tool you can use that is very helpful. It's also the parallel. Now, in the parallel, you just put up what Bibles you want up on the top. Notice that I've got the NASB and the Greek New Testament. Okay, and then I have none over here. So, but you can put as many Bibles as you want, and they'll just get skinnier and longer, and you'll be able to go through, and you'll be able to compare or parallel the Bible. So, if you're looking to understand what the Greek is, you have the NASB and the Greek Nexus. Now let's go. We were talking about the downloading. You got free downloads, but then you have what's called premium downloads. Does anybody here use the NASB? Yeah. Okay. Thinking people use no. No. NASB is a really good translation. One I've gotten used to over the years, and it's translated from the earliest manuscripts, and which makes it, I think, somewhat better than the King James Version and so on. That's just purely my understanding. But there is a price with the NASB. It's owned by the Holman Foundation, right? And so they don't just allow you to download it free. The foundation has to be paid so they can do whatever they do with it. But anyway, it's not a large payment. When I did it some years back, it was like $19. I don't know, maybe $39, whatever. But the point is, once you pay that fee, you're licensed to use it. So you can use it in any platform, like it not only eSword, but if there's something else where it has an NASB platform, you'd have to contact the Holman Foundation. But if you have your license, and by the way, you don't have to worry writing the license number down, put it in your wallet. You don't need it. They have done a database, so all you have to do is just contact the Holman Foundation, and they'll take care of the licensing it for you. So that's the NASB. But there are other things that are premium. Like, for instance, you'll see down here in the bottom of my dictionary, I got the NASEC. That's the New American Standard Encyclopedia or something.
Exhaustive Concordance.
Thank
New
you.
New American Standard.
Exhaustive Concordance. That's what I have passed Scott here for, because I don't remember all this stuff, but he does. So. Anyway, so that's what that, so, but that again is a premium thing. You have to pay for that again. The Holman Foundation wants to do that. So, but there are other things too, which I kind of wish that, I'm not sure why they don't come up. You know, that's just weird. Now I could probably go to this, to the site. Let me see if I can do that. No, actually, it doesn't allow me to go to the site from here. I could do it other ways, but I'm not going to bother. Well, there's this thing called a user group. Okay, which you get that from the help menu. And I may skip over a whole lot of things, okay? So if anybody goes, well, how do you get there? You know, make sure you ask me those questions, because I'll go. This is the Bible... BibleSupport.com. This is it's a group of people who use eSword, and they put up different downloads on you. Some of them are premium, some of them are free, and you can download the things here. You get all kinds of instructions about how to use it. You can make comments in it. There's a lot of things on here that are important. You got to have a message board. So this is something like they've downloaded here. Let's see what they got in the way of download. So these are things you can. Different downloads that you can do, and they'll be able to put them into your computer. There's a thing you download that will put them right into your eSword, so it works right along with it. So it's a very handy thing. So keep that handy. You'll find that in the eSword help menu. Okay. Well, let's get back to, the other thing is, what are some of the commentaries that, do you use commentaries? Okay. How many commentaries do you have? Yeah. Well, no, I meant on your, at home. If people use book commentaries, it's pretty hard to get a library of book commentaries. Very expensive to put a library of good books. If you look, I got a lot of cheap little paperback commentaries when I started, preaching. I could only get what I could afford. So these little cheap little paperback. But those got, as I, moved along, I got better ones, but even so, they're expensive and they take up space. Here, you've got virtually every commentary you want, and you can download other ones. There are as, they got all the free commentaries here, which I have most of those, right? And then you've got the ones that you can purchase. The MacArthur, is one that some of you might want to. What is BKC? Bible Knowledge, something like
that? Brown Driver's Bridge.
No, it's BKC. BDG is BGB. So. Anyway, so the point is you could, I don't know, but there are different commentaries. These are the ones that I got because they're free. And they're actually very good. Vincent's Word Study is excellent. If you bring up it, you'll, let's just bring up the, the commentary window, so you can see. You've got Romans 5:2, the word access. This is a word study. The Vincent Ford study is a word study-driven commentary. So it takes all the words and explains a lot about them and the tenses and something like that. And then another one in that same, you got Robertson's word pictures, which... it helps with Robertson. It helps to know the language, which you can know that, but you can look up those words easily. I'll show you how to do that in a second. And then you've got like, Schofield, of course, everybody, that you can't do that here. Let me just go back to my original window. All right. So, sorry about that. You can pick up a, we can't do that. Let's go to NASB. So, and here we can go to, it says that, see, there's no notes in it. One thing I'll show you, when you see the little eye in the blue circle, that means that there's notes on it, but apparently not here. So if we go over here, there are notes. Well, one of the things I'm going to jump around, but that's just way in. One of the things I want to let you know about this, if you're, let's say you decide you're studying Romans. Let's go back to Romans. And you want to, what is the book about? How do I get the information? Let's say you're doing a message, okay? Or you don't teach a study or whatever. You're going to want to know something about the book. So you can go over here. If you look in the, if we go to our commentary window over here, notice that we got a B, a C, and a V. Anybody make a guess as to what they are? B meaning, it says display book comments. So these are book commentaries, okay? So you get the, it'll give you the basic commentaries on the book. Let's go to something, a better one, like let's go to Matthew Henry. So this will give you, Matthew Henry is a historical commentator. Most of this are just his understanding of scripture as he studied it. So they're not word studies. It's a full commentary on the verse. But if you want to know what the book is about, you go to the book. You hit the B, and it gives you the whole background, the introduction to the book of Romans. You want, let's say you want to go to chapter 1, you hit C, and then this gives you an introduction to chapter 1. And if you want to go to a particular verse, you hit B, and now you have the commentary on that particular verse. Very handy when you're trying to put together a study, because when you're looking for introduction stuff, you don't have to bounce all around. It's right there. The introduction to these studies is what comes up when you hit that. So that's kind of important. And again, if you're doing a study in the commentary, you probably want to make the commentary full size. The only difference with this is when you have it like this, it's nice. You can get up and down to it. But when you want to go to the next verse and so on, you have to go back because that. Oh, no, it's here. Yeah. Okay. This is the next area of the commentary. Those little arrows up there, you can go back and you can go forward. So in this screen view, this is the way you would go through the different things. So what are some of the things that you would like to let's go back to the, what are some of the things that you're interested in? And I'll show you more tricks of the trade. Oh, let me just say, before I do, you're going to have a hard time. But that's when I preach, it's the same thing. So let's go to 1 Thessalonians. I brought this up because this is where Pastor Harris was teaching from last week, or the week before, whichever it was. And one of the things that I, as a paralambano, received, the Greek word 3880 in the Strong's, that's paralambano along with to take along with. Para alongside, lambano to take. But there is something that you need to recognize about wording. So what I'm going to show you something interesting. I'm just going to highlight received, right? And now I'm going to go to what am I going to go to? Which one I'm going to do? I've got to find the one. It's here somewhere. Okay. I'm not there yet. Okay. Where's the study thing? All right. I don't use this very often, but it's really cool. Well, let's just try the Bible study deals. Do I see? No, they're right there. That's it. Thank you. Okay. Now, received is already up in there, okay, when you hit the study thing. And then the study's already, you don't have to click study or anything. After the study's already done for you. So now, when you go through here, I want you to look at the Strong's numbers next to the word received. Now, we're in Hebrews right now, in the Hebrew part, so I'm going to go up here. And I'm going to make just a New Testament, and we'll do the study again. Okay, so now we're in the New Testament. I want you to look at the numbers. Now, originally, what was the number for paralambano when we saw it in the text? Come on. 3880. Okay. Yeah, it was all right. It was good.
Basically, Bible knowledge commentary.
Huh?
Bible knowledge commentary.
Thank you. Okay.
I get some.
No, you get a lot of right, believe me. So we're in receive. What are we? It's 3880. It's 3880 was the strong number that that originally got us, that was in the text. But if we're here, we're looking at a bunch of different numbers. So this is 2983. This is lambano without the power. And as you read the different things, you see the slight differences in it. So, and there's more to, there's more than that. There's, let me find some other ones. Anyway, 3618. That's apolumbano. So, to receive in full or as a host, also take aside. They all have slightly different meanings, which when you look at words in text, it's good to understand the slightly different meanings because it makes a whole world of difference. If I say I receive something here in English, we just think, oh, you have something. But in the Greek, you can actually find out, was it something that you actually carried away? Some of the word implies that you're taking it someplace. And you can understand a lot about what's being said through the type of word that's used. So that's kind of an interesting thing. Another way to do it, there's different ways to do that, but this is a very handy tool that you have here. Another thing that's a handy tool, let's say I clicked on this, let's say I highlight the Greek word, and I want to find, well, let's find something. Let's go back to received. Let's just click on the number. Okay, now I can go back and hit the study thing again. And now all of those numbers come. So it gives you an opportunity to see that word where it's used. And treasure scripture knowledge gives you a similar type of thing, but it's you're too far away from to really understand what they're choosing those verses on. This way, you know it's being chosen because of the number. Now I came up 3880. That's interesting because 3880. Because it was 3880. That's why. So, but you can do. That's one of the tools that you can use. There's a lot of little things you'll pick up along the way that are very, very handy for an in-depth study. Does anybody have any questions about what they? Let's look at some of the tools. The treasure of scripture knowledge. Does anybody use a treasure, a TSK hardcover book? Yeah, or a softcover book, but I know you do. What is a treasure of scripture knowledge? You just have to be the administrator. The cameraman, thank you. So what is a treasure of scripture knowledge? Yeah, it's like the inner leaf or the outside depending on your Bible, the leaf of your Bible with all the references in it. That's what that is. Now, somebody before that was even available. By the way, Bibles back in the 19th century didn't have that in it, right? That's something that we have in the 20th century, 21st century that wasn't there a long time ago. What the TSK, I forget who wrote it, you maybe know that, but the point, he went through, or a bunch of guys went through and picked all the references out of scripture and put them into a book. So every verse, it has all the references, cross-references to those verses in the TSK. It's an excellent, excellent tool to study because it really helps you to see when this phrase, see, it's not only a word, it's phrases. So the TSK gives you a broader range. What I was showing you before was word studies, okay, important. But this is phraseology, too. It gets you the whole sort of understanding. It's similar. There's a lot more to it in the TSK. So that's an excellent tool. See, the word thank in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, word thank. You got 1 Thessalonians 1, 2, 3. You got Romans 1, 8, and 9. First, I think, thank my God, and then because Jeremiah asked us, and so all the, when that word is used in that context, now Jeremiah, of course, is Hebrew as opposed to the Greek. So the word is different. So you would miss the, if you were just doing word study, you would miss that because that's in Hebrew and you would come up this way. All the time that word is used, either Hebrew or Greek, is there, and if a phrase is used, it's there, and you can just follow that through. And it's very helpful to get the full understanding of what's being said. One thing I want to show you, see this up here on this, the top here, Super 1, that's a link, okay? And so when you click that, well, what's going to happen if I unclick it? Okay, now if I change link, it doesn't move. Okay, if I change the verse, it'll look okay. But if I go back over here and I hit the link again, it'll link with the Bible verse that it is. That's an important tool because, again, you got to do only one move, change your Bible verse, and everything else lines up with it that you have linked. It's very important. So I'm going to get rid of the editors. Anybody have a problem with that? Can? Okay. So I don't really use them, but you may. But you know where to find them. So what are some of the other? Now, if we go up here, we look up here on the bar where I'm highlighted. That's a reference library. So I pull that up, and voila, we get this is a sketch of Jewish social life, Alfred Edersheim. Anybody familiar with Edersheim? Did anybody take the Edersheim book here, by the way?
I haven't read.
Okay.
I recommended it.
Yeah, that's gold. Alfred Edersheim was a rabbi back in the 17th century, I think, who 18th century, whatever. He made this his life's work to study. Was he a rabbi? No. Anyway, to study the Hebrew, what was going on in Jesus' time. One of his books is The Life and Times of Jesus Christ Messiah. It's a huge book, and as you go through the verse in the New Testament where Jesus is, you'll see he does a whole thing where, like the Last Supper, he gives you a really detailed reason why they would be sitting like this, and that very great tool if you're trying to understand what's being said in those times. So Edersheim is just an amazing resource. So by all means, download all his resources if you can. See, and here the contents of Palestine 18 centuries ago, Jews and Gentiles in the land, Galilee in the time of our Lord, traveling in Palestine, and Judah. And he gives you all the details, and all the stuff that was going on then as if you were living in those times.
What was his name?
Alfred E. Edersheim. Yeah. Right. Maybe Alfred Edersheim, whatever his middle name was. He's got three or four, maybe more books that, and I have them all. Like I go up here, and you can pull up different books. See, The Life and Times of Jesus the Messiah, The Temple and His Ministry. Yeah, the three books. The Life and Times of Jesus the Messiah, really great book. And then the temple, you get to understand all the stuff that they did in the temple, how they dressed, what they did, and how they handled the different sacrifices. So very, very important stuff. Also, I got the Wars of the Jews, Josephus, Knowledge of the Holy Tozer, Institutes of Christian Religion. Anybody read the Institutes? And you need a big shelf to read them. But that's John Calvin. That's what he's famous for, the Institutes of this, how the Christian religion is built and as practiced and so on. It's very, very good book. And then the creeds of, I have those, the creeds of Christendom. That's an interesting study too, because there's quite a few of them. Antiquities of Jews. That's good. Josephus is another one. And then the Nicene Fathers, the books of the founding fathers of the church. So, great stuff. Now, what would that library cost you? I mean, it's just incredible. And how much room would they take? This is all free. So what you do, let's say I want to go Anti-Nicene Fathers, volume one, I click that, it comes up, and now all the contents are over here, table contents. I can go down here and pick something out. Dusty Martyr, Resurrection Fan. And all the information is right there to finger. You may not want it. Now, remember we talked about the big pink golf clubs and the red table watercolor brushes? You may not be ready for it. You may go like, that's boring. Okay, that's fine. But at some point when you're doing a deep study, you may want to just read, you can actually read these quite simply, and just use them as reading and read different sections to get an idea of what was going on then and who these people were. So you have all these things that you, and this is, you can do searches for different things in your library that you have, acquired. Alright, so those are some of the resources that you have at your fingertips. Which to me I think is one of the best things of eSort is the amazing library that you have, and it really, there's no cost to it. Alright, one of the things that I want to talk about, and we'll talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. Okay, we talked about the compare in the Bible window, right? Let's just bring up the Bible window by itself, and we'll do some of the. So we talked about the compare, right, where you have all of the verses. We talked about parallel where you could indicate. Let's say, for instance, I wanted to do Dewey Reams. Okay, this is a Catholic Bible, right? So. So I can just pick that, you just pick up the thing up here and push them next to each other. Another, that's a great tool. And then this split, you can go up here and do, let me go back to the NAS. And you can do, it's good. These are things I don't use regularly. Oh, there it is. Okay. You can do a split. Now, what you can do, and this is kind of helpful, you can put pick one verse up here and one verse and a different verse down there if you're doing some compare, whatever it is. It's a handy little tool to compare two sections of the Bible at one time. One other thing that you can do, you see these little scroll-like things on the side? Where my cursor is. Those are Bible tabs. Anybody use Bible tabs? I know, Pastor. But anybody else use Bible tabs? If you have Bible tabs, even if they're drilled in, whatever, they make getting around the Bible faster, right? Now, in a normal Bible, if you put on Bible tabs, you may have 20 or 30 tabs on there, okay, however many. This is for space, they only put 10. Now, what these are, if you notice, as I cursor over that, it tells me John 3:1, because that's one of the things I was looking at at the time. Now, they come with John 3:16 as a standard. Let's go down here where I haven't changed. Yeah, John 3, that's a standard one. They're all generically marked, the default marked to John 3:16, because that's everybody's verse. Everybody knows John 3:16. But what you can do, let's say you're studying, let's go and let me pull up the regular Bible, the regular view, and I'll take Acts 12, now we'll look at Acts 12:3. I want to look at that again later. So I'll go up here and I'll take number one and I'll right click on it. And now when I mouse back over there, what does it tell me? Acts 12:3. So that saves it right there. So these are your tabs that you'll set up for your study. So if you're going back, and very handy when you're doing a study, you're going back and forth trying to compare, trying to whatever. All the verses. How many times has pastors said to you, put your finger there and move over to here, put your finger there, move over here, put your right toe in there. You run out of things to use. But you got 10 things here that you can use for different Bible verses, so you can jump back and forth. And you don't have to do all, like, for instance, you're doing a study over weeks or whatever. And you just, as you find something that you want to come back to, you just put it in there. Say, there's some good stuff here. I want to keep that handy. And you put that there. Now, Rick Wires took that out in one of his gyrations of this, and he almost got shot. I mean, he had so much bad mail to make it, because he said, well, he can get all that stuff up easy. I don't need to take up screen space with that. But the people who use the program didn't think so. So it came right back in. So anyway, it's a very, very, very handy tool. I do use that a lot. I only use one or two at a time. Generally, I never use all 10, but it's a handy thing to have. So let me see if I got anything else that's really important. And then we talked about the search. Oh, there are tutorials. You can go up here to the help window, and it says training demos. It's like from version 3, 32 years ago, or whenever it's came. And they're not very handy, but there's some things that are. It talks mostly about moving screen around and stuff like that. And I don't think you guys are going to do much of that. What are some of the things that you're looking for, Bob, so that you'd like to know this is answer my problem? What are some of the things if you don't understand how to use this, basically, let me know, because I do skip around a lot, and I'm apt not to say. So, question.
It's a little tricky for the Mac users, the Apple users. It's quite different.
Is it?
Yeah.
Very.
I would not have it. I don't have Apples in my house. Only the
normally they're supposed to be easier to use, but it's actually it's more stripped down and simplified, so there's less options right at your fingertips, like what you have you're looking for. You have to scroll and scroll and scroll. You know, like search around for it. Just like the tabs, I'm trying to find where would my tabs be on my screen, and I can't find them.
Well, another interesting thing, by the way. There is a phone version now, too.
I have. Okay. I downloaded it last night, but it's even more stripped down.
that's what I figured. I haven't really.
But it's helpful if you're on the fly, you know.
Well, yeah, if you want to
do all of this, I'm Googling everything. And so then it'll come up, like, the verse I'm interested in, and it'll have Bible Hub or Bible Getaway or whatever, and it'll have Henry commentary and Strong's. But if this is all in one spot rather than it pulling from so many different places.
Right. Yeah.
I think it's just a matter of time familiarizing. The
Mac translation only is about 3 or 4 or 5 years old.
Right.
They haven't really for long, because most of the people using this weren't Mac users.
Right.
And they're only starting to get a lot of people questioning, so that's why they can't version. But I dare say, I mean, I'm sure Rick has programs working from now, but he did most of the program himself, and you either know Mac or you know PC, and it's pretty hard to.
Like even just finding the link that you had so that everything links together, I think I have it on, but I'm not even quite sure. It looks almost like a sideways paper.
It's an infinity.
Do that
it's an infinity sign.
You're not even trying.
No, I have it on much mine.
No, meaning like you're waiting to have familiar eyes.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you have questions of things that you'd like to do on here and can you do them?
Hey, Jim, could you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Is there a way to turn off the red letters?
There's a way to turn off the red letters.
That's a good question. I don't know if mine are on.
I think on options display setting, you can uncheck red letter.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Whoever that is.
That was Christine. So options, display settings.
Yeah. I don't
know. Probably the font settings, display settings at the top.
Display settings.
Yeah, uncheck it.
Yeah, red letter. Okay. Yeah. Thanks. Never did that. Okay. Any other questions from the peanut gallery?
Who we appreciate very greatly.
Yes, of course.
I have a question. Why would you want to unclick it?
Well, a lot of people, that was man-made, and I think a lot of people, if you're doing, want to be as pure as you can in your study, you really don't want to know what man said. You want to know what the scriptures say.
Meaning of when Jesus spoke?
Well, a man said, "Well, this is Jesus speaking," and read. But you know, if you can't figure that out, probably you need more Bible study.
Right.
Yeah. So I think some purists, I don't really care one way or the other. You get a Bible, most of them have red letters in them. You can get Bibles without it. So let's look at something else that's kind of important. You see the little painting thing up there? That's a graphics viewer. We open it up, and voila, we've got some maps. Now, this is what's called a classic map. Also, they're very small. Maybe I can...
Wait, where did you find that?
That's under. Yes, yeah, see up here.
Oh,
the
ye of little faith.
Wait, I know.
Okay, see? Oh, ye of little faith.
There's a little painting up there. You click on that, and of course,
painting. Okay, I'm looking for a painting.
Up on the top
there. Into a search bar. Where are the maps?
Right at the end of the bar up there. You got the books for the reference library right next.
Where are the graphs?
Okay. So, and this is, American Bible Society maps, okay, and you go over here to on the right side of the screen, it says Ancient Near East, and then I can go down and hit like the Syrian, and it'll give me this map. Now it's they're sort of small. Much more helpful up there, except it's hard to read because they're. And you can go through, you can pick up the different maps. Division of Canaan, Egypt and Sinai. And this is kind of handy because, and there are different maps that will show similar things, but it helps you to understand what the 12 tribes were. It's only different divisions of 12 tribes. We go over to Classic, which is kind of cool looking map. But this is the old map. So that's Jerusalem and, modern Jerusalem. This is the way it would be. What they call modern, I don't know, 1935 or whatever. Anyway, and then there are different ones. You go to historical, and that's a big map that you can actually move around and see different, physical map of Europe, Western Asia, and Northern Africa. So these are handy when you're trying to look because the interesting thing about these are most of them are, you can know what time they're speaking about, you know, historically. So, you want to know, I think I have a map of Paul's journey. So, and these are just different things you can get in the historical. Then I've got the Mediterranean. I'm not sure what that is. That's Numidia. That's Africa. No, that's Africa, but Asia Minor. We do that. And then you begin to see some of the, this is an old map. It would seem to me. I tend to use the classic maps, but these are bigger though. So in that respect, it's good because you can see more area. And then they got these cool things, pictures from NASA or the Rand McNally maps, and then the sacred. And there are other things that you can download. I'm not super sure what this is, biblical timeline. That's actually kind of interesting. I think I printed this one day. I used to have a plotter that could make 24 by 30 prints, so I printed a lot of things like this, but I don't do that so much anymore. So anyway, this is the kind of history things and so on. So you have these graphics that are available. There is something else that eSort has going for you that you can use. It's called a step reader. Let me see if I can find it under tools. I think that's where we're down here at the bottom. Now, a step reader is a thing that's made to there's the acronym. I don't know exactly what it means, but it means something. And the point is that it allows you to download text and read the text, so which is kind of interesting. I can't search that, nothing there. So I don't use it, but I did actually earlier on. They had I used to download different texts that were in step reader, and you could read them just like a what do you call the thing you read on the little electronic thing you read the. Kindle, thank you. That's the word. It was in my White House. Yeah, it's like a Kindle, only you got to carry a computer similar to that, you can read through the text. So that's available for you.
That step reader is basically a formatting or library, just like Kindle is.
Okay.
There are a bunch of competing ones. So you can find, if you had a book that was in step format, that just allows you to read it within that program.
Okay.
Which is a nice feature.
Jim, I'm sorry, I missed where that was. Where did you?
That's it, under tools.
Oh, under tools.
Step reader down there. And I'm going to go over some of these tools with you because let's do the Bible. Well, Bible reading is, this is a daily Bible reading, that you will name, see, I got Jim's 2020 Bible reading, program, whatever. So you put in how you want to read, let's say we want to, well, if this was my Bible reading, I would set it up. I don't remember how I set it up. But it was a little time.
Let's go on NASB. You should probably read it in NASB and then try and read with all them.
Well, that's true. That's true. But that's my whatever one I'm in that's kind of bringing it up. So, yeah, thank you. If you're doing a daily Bible reading, and this is a reading one of the way you set up the Bible reading. Let's go up here and we'll under tools, and we're going to go to daily devotionals. Okay, that's the daily devotion. Those are devotionals. The Bible reading. There is a. I forget how I set this thing up. Come on. Forgive me. There's got to be some place where you set it up, and Oh, where is the thing that says
like upper left-hand corner next to the Bible, under Bible.
Okay, this here, right?
Right.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. So you pick a, you'll open this up and you'll go, say, I want to read New Testament. Well, you can do both. You can do Old Testament and New Testament, or you can just say Bible and do both. And then you go next and you pick out the days you want to read. Okay, let's leave that. And then you go to how long do I want to read, let's say 6 months. Okay. And then let's put a name. Let's see.
Wow.
Okay.
When your reading plan is going to take me 57 weeks.
Okay, what happened? What did I do wrong here? 6 months. Oh, maybe 7 times on this. Let's do 1 year. Let's just do 1 year. Okay.
So we just did Old Testament.
Why am I not? I had this trouble when I did it the last time, too, of putting a name in there. You know, I'm just going to, I'm not going to put a name in. Yeah, it just, it puts my name in it. Oh, now I can put the name. Okay. Jim 2021.
27.
Okay. So you got that now when you save it. You can't, even though it has a bar for you to put the name in, which is dumb because you go nuts trying to put something in that it won't let you. You just click save and then you can name the file and save it. Okay. So then every day when you open up your program and it, which requires you to shut the program down. Okay. And when I open this up, and look what happens. Okay. And where's my okay? What happened to my Bible reading?
We have 33.
Oh, show at startup. Okay. Show at startup. Okay. We're going to do that one more time. We're going to shut the puppy down and start her up again. So you can see that it shows it started. By the way, which is a handy thing because it's did I save it? Okay, so we're going to do this one more time until we get it. Okay. I'm stubborn like that. Bible reading, show at startup. Did I hit okay? Okay. Let's try that again. What do you think? You think it's going to show?
Yeah.
Anyway, No. Okay. It does. It does. Somewhere along the line, it does. Because I did it, and I actually I studied through the scripture in 6 months, the whole Bible in 6 months, doing it that way. It's very handy because it just takes you right through it. It breaks down to pieces that you, and it doesn't come in the middle of a sentence. It'll break it down at a verse and so on. So when you pick up again, you pick up at the next verse. So it's a very handy thing. Let's see what other tools we have. It's handy, but actually works. You can do a daily devotion too, as we saw, which are this bunch of different devotions that are, that I've downloaded. You can put in your prayer request. You can put a list of prayer requests. You can put scripture memory, and it'll bring up different, memory verses, you can show a star. So these are different things you can set up for yourself, and you probably will do better at them than I am because I don't use a lot of this stuff. You got sermonaudio.com. You can go to Sermon Audio and download things. So let's do a verse study right straight through. Is there some area that you guys are wanting to study through, or anything that anybody interested in something? What is it?
Ephesians chapter 3.
Okay.
Are you laughing?
Well, Ephesians is my favorite. If you look at my old Bible, every verse in there is highlighted in a bunch of different colors and underlines. It's my favorite book. There's so much in here. Okay, so this is the way you would do it. You would open up. Now, you can open up your study notes. I'm gonna pull lift the editor up, and I'm going to pin that back where it belongs so I can catch it. Okay. All right. So you got your editor here, and you can, and we can. By the way, that's probably taking up a little extra space there, so we'll move that up so we can have a little bit more room to work. And so, all right. Do I have the link? Yeah, I believe the link is on. All right. So what about reason, Karen? It's an accusative case. So you can sort of get to understand what are some of the words you go through. You pick out the words, you'll start to build your, well, first you read it, obviously, but you'll have all these tools here available to go through and understand. You know, when I do a study, I'm not going to teach you outside. That's Scott's venue, and I'm not going to do it. But I read it. You read it at least 5 times, the text, before you even start the study. Just read it so things pop out. I think you probably agree with that, Scott, right? Read it over. The text, read it over a number of times until you feel comfortable that you understand what's being said. Now you understand what's being said. So now you got to start doing word studies. You don't want to do the word studies before you go because you keep stopping. And you never see the forest for the tree. So you'll do that. You'll go and you pull up these different, you can see all of the Greek. You just highlight over the Greek word. You'll see what it is. And if it's important, you'll make notes to that effect. And you can study it in great detail. And then you pull it, if you want, again, what are some of the reasons why you might use the commentaries to know what to write? To know what to study?
Why was Paul in prison at that time?
Okay, and what you're going to do most of the time, if you're doing historical commentaries, you're going to get somebody's opinion of why. And so when you go there, you should already have someone there from the text. Well, you don't want the commentaries to drive your study. You want the commentaries to back up your study, okay, so that you know you're on. I mean, am I right with that, Scott?
I'm not just going to be.
Okay, good.
I'm going with this.
Okay, then I'm not going to.
I'll correct.
I'll say, yeah, just say I'm
right. They would know because we already talked about this.
Okay.
Is it correct?
Yeah.
So, all right. So I'm assuming you're in the hermeneutics class. So, what are some questions about using a Bible study program that it's hard for me. I tried to put together things that I I thought it might be interesting. And I know I forgot a bunch of stuff, but this is a handy thing that Scott put together, and that was this is the stuff that's free and a premium that you can. So if you want, you can make a copy better. You can just look at it.
I gave him all copies. Oh, that's as of 5 years ago.
Okay, yeah. So there's probably new stuff in there. I know there are. I would have liked, one of the things I would have liked to do is they can actually, I wanted to be able to get and show you the different stuff online where you can get them. Well, one other thing I wanted to talk about
Well, just go to the others. If you go to your browser, you're going to be online.
I can go to eSword directly from there I know I can do that, but you can go from inside the program. What I did want to show you is,
well, how do you get inside the program? I'll work on that maybe. Now you're on.
Yeah, no, I'm showing the Blue Letter Bible.
Okay.
This, one of the things that eSword doesn't do is it doesn't parse verbs or give you actual, parts of speech. Okay. So, put in different languages. It gives you the word in its noun form or verb form, but doesn't tell you as a verb, doesn't tell you what form it's in. So what I do, I go to Blue Letter Bible online, and, you know, I pull up the NASB, and then I would pick out a verse. This one, we're going to look at 1 Thessalonians 2:13 here, and now you can pick out like this reason is a phrase, it tells you what it is as preposition. Like we've got four as a preposition, and then we have a and we click on it. It's a personal possessive pronoun. This we is a personal possessive pronoun. It's plural, as we could assume. It's nominative, meaning it's a subject. And now we'll see if we can find a verb. Okay. When you receive the verb phrase. Okay. Okay. It's an aorist tense, which means it's sort of ongoing, right? It's active voice, meaning it's about the subject. It's a participle. It's plural. It's masculine. And so these are all, so when you're trying to parse it or to understand what I'm saying, because in Greek, sometimes being able to parse the word and being knowing what case it is often helps you to know what's being spoken of. Exactly. By grace you save through faith, and that not of yourself is a gift from God. So that referring to, grace or faith? No, it's not both. It's one or the other. But having the cases help, because when it says it's a nominative case, it means it's referring to subject. Accuser means dative is the object, right? It's been a while, and I don't remember my birthday, so. But knowing that, being able to know what case is in and helps you to understand what it's referring to. So you go through and you can find it. So that's why that's kind of important. Parsing the nouns, knowing what who they're referring to is very important to understand the Greek. The Greek language is very different than English. It's like any one of the Romance languages has the same thing in that they have different forms of the words. It's not, in America, it has to do with placement in the sentence, right? Your noun, your verb, your object, they're generally placed in certain places because the verb, the noun is doing the verb, and that's referring to the object. It's not so in Greek. You can't tell by how it's placed in a sentence. It has to do with the tense, so you know what it's referring to. So if you're going to use, I don't expect anybody here to be Greek scholars but I have tools. I use tools. And you have tools to use. So this will help. If you're having trouble learning, understanding what that verse is meaning in its original language, because you can read, as you read it in a bunch of different commentaries or different translation, you're going to see words different than the translation. And most of it's going to be pretty close. It's not going to, but it'd be nice if you actually knew how they arrived at what they're saying. So, it's Blue Letter Bible will help you through it. There's instructions on how to use those. Like, if you want to, it tells you what these things are. Like,
is
if
it
I.
Download?
It's online.
So you just pull it up online. So this is a totally different window than what.
Yeah, yeah. No, this is just a tool because if eSort did the parsing and stuff like that, I wouldn't do it. But it does. Expensive programs do the parsing and stuff like that. We know who's got expensive programs. And well, eSure. But you have all the tools that you need available to you. So, and if you want it, you can donate to them. You got a thing. So that's a. Those are, as far as I know, was there something else I was going to do? Questions. We got plenty of time in those. Let's see what else I can do. All these different commentaries, they all have their different, ways of commenting on it. Some are, as I said, that historical commentaries, which are really just what they are, is pastors and theologians who, like John MacArthur, has every message he ever recorded, and he puts it into a commentary and sells it. But, and this is essentially what these historical commentaries are, but they're great because you're talking about people who their life has been devoted to studying the Word, and so you get good stuff out of it. Then you got other ones, the Treasury of David is actually interesting, and you have to, we have to be in, Psalms to actually. Yeah. Well, you can get, it gives you insight into the Psalms, explains them quite a bit, which is kind of handy. One of my favorite Psalms is Psalm 13. Basically because in six verses, it gives you, I'll give you the outline real quick. It's David looking around first. Well, let's bring up Psalm 13 and you'll understand what I'm talking about. Okay, I just lost it. Okay, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? So what is he doing right now? He's got problems and he's crying out, well, how long are you going to hide your face from me? I'm looking all around at what's going on in my life and I don't see you. How long shall I take counsel in my soul? Meaning what? Means that he's not taking counsel with God. He's just talking to himself. That God's on. So again, he's looking around. Now, but when he gets to Sarah Maharaday, how long will my enemy be exalted? And then he goes in verse 3, says, consider and ask me, O Lord, my God, and light my eyes. And he looks up. Now he's looking up to God, okay? Isn't that what we do, right? And there's so much in Psalms, but this one I like so much, and I don't mean to teach a lesson on this, but since I have a lot of time to kill, I'm telling you why it's my favorite. He looks around, and this is what we do. In the middle of trouble, do we go to God? By the way, most of the time, how am I going to solve this? How is this going to happen? We can talk about what's going on politically and say, how am I going to solve this? Well, it's not up to us to solve it. And then he says, then he finally, verse 3, consider and ask me, Lord. Now he's talking to God directly. Enlighten my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death. Well, I'm going to die. Help me, God, or I'm going to die. Looking all around at things. Now he's looking up to God. Now he's getting serious. And then the verse 4 says, and my enemy, I will say, I have overcome him, and my adversaries rejoice when I am shaken. He's adding that to the fact that he's going to die because this is why he'll die. Now, verse 5, but I have trusted in your loving kindness. That he looked around first, looked up to God, and then remembered what God has done for him because he trusted in his loving kindness. Now he's looking back. And this is what we need to do in life. I'm sorry, I don't mean to teach a lesson here, but.
No, that's great. If you're getting, just getting an outline, go to the MAS without the path. Without the,
yeah.
Okay. All right. So you can read like that. You can read it through several times.
Right.
Kind of going back to what you said. You can read through it several times. Now as you're digging into it, you start having questions, which you should have in text. What does it mean, like, verse 4, rejoice when I'm shaken? What do you mean by shaken? So now you can go to the tab versions, and since most don't have the NASB, but you could buy it, if you have the NASB, then you could then click on that word on the reference number. Now it'll take you to
waiver.
To an idea of what does this word mean, right? Mm-hmm. So that gives you some idea within a lexicon, a dictionary. But now, that doesn't tell me. This looks like, okay, I have a lot of different options here. I wonder which one it is. I want to dig in a little bit more to find out, maybe from a commentator who knows Hebrew or something. So now I'm going to go to the commentator. So now I want to go to a commentator of some sort who may give me a little more idea of this. So show them how to do that. So what I'm trying to do is, how they're, I got a question. How am I going to find out the answer that I'm wondering?
Okay. I'm going to finish my outline here real quick.
Okay. I thought you would.
No. Verse 5, he's looking back and remembering what God did for him. And then let's look at verse 6. This is my favorite thing. What does verse 6 say? I will, future tense, sing to the Lord because what? He has dealt bountifully with me. He's looked back on his life, and he saw that God has been there. So I know I will sing. And I tell you, to me, this is just a beautiful. This is one of David's most succinct, beautiful, simple verses about how God is always there, and you just have to remember he's there, okay, and see what he's done for you. Having said that.
Okay, well, let's use what you just used, because you just talked about past tense and future tense. How are they going to find that? So verse 5 is, I have trusted you. How would they know that this is past tense?
Well, Hebrews is not my...
So how would he sort of help them understand what the...
Well, I'm guess let's just read the text in the Treasury of David. But I have trusted in the mercy of my heart, shall rejoice. So soon. What a change is here. Lo, the rain is over and gone, and time is... how would they actually know? You can go down through here. That, then you would have to go, if you really wanted to know his past tense, you'd have to go into
the Blue Letter Bible.
Blue Letter Bible and find out. When we can do that, that's
so. Now, can you hyperlink to the Blue Letter Bible in this?
No, but I can have it open.
Okay, and so you toggle back to
Blue
Letter Bible.
Yes.
So if you have that open, we'll toggle back to Blue Letter Bible.
And then I'll just go up here and I'll put in the Psalms up at the top.
Finding tenses of the words, it'll parse the grammar for you. Or define the nouns and parse the words so you can find out the tense. Because what I'm trying to have you do is show how you actually use this if you're studying something and getting all the tools. So now I can use another tool, Blue Letter Bible, and find out, okay, what is the tense? How do I know it's past tense?
Okay. But I have trusted, and now we'll go in here. It's a phrase. And we can open this up. It gives you perfect first person common singular.
Passive perfect first person common singular. So now you have something that actually parses it for you. It tells you this is past tense. So this is what happened. Right. So you go to your commentaries and you have someone who will talk about that, like the Treasury of David.
And you can do that in there are although the yeah you can do that like Kyle and Delitz usually has a another one is let me just find Jameson Forson Brown They got all the, I'm trying to look for the ones that are, like, this is quite an, you can look through the commentaries and see what they said. There's no, I'm not looking at the, unfortunately, Vincent's work or Robson's work, which is mostly New Testament. Colin Dillich is the only one that, really should, and but this Colin Dillich is a little bit deep in terms of, it goes very heavily into the language. But if you read through it carefully, the, yeah, this is not my,
okay, well,
Old Testament, I pretty much stay away from the Old Testament in terms of the.
So you could go to this, so Colin Dillich will help you. I mean, you can't work through it. You're going to throw something like, I don't know what that even looks. Little squiggles on the paper there. It's Hebrew, but
right.
It looks like little squiggles. So before it's a Hebrew, that's what it looks like. I'm putting little squiggles here.
Yeah, but I used to know what they meant.
Follow his logic, or he'll tell me that kind of stuff. So that's past tense. You might want to look up trusted. You know, what does he mean by trusted? So you could do a word study on that.
And then you come down here to dictionary. It's a root to trust, both careless, complacent, confident, and it's that's as if, and if you look at most of them, it's talking relying. It's the same as we would understand the word trust, that you you rely on something, you're not afraid, you trust in it, you're confident, complacent. Careless even because of your trust in them. And I think that's, you can see that in what the, for me, I'm you get a lot more about the old, I should, probably should bring
it up. Well, so now I'm going to work you back through some of the things you already did. And I'm like, I wonder how this same word is used in other places. So you'll highlight the Strong's number, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, if you're looking for the.
So, if you highlight that, and then we'll give you all the places that particular word is used.
Right.
Okay.
So do the search, and you heard all this. So you can do, I mean, this is pretty incredible for a, especially for a free program. You just came up with all these things. You can do this word study about trust. You can narrow it down. What does David talk about it to go in the Psalms? How did David express his trust? And you can do a whole thing just on that, right?
So as you're looking here, you're looking at these words, you've got the, in Judges, it will come to a secure people, a people who trust, okay, that are trusting God. Yeah, it's used as relied. It's another thing it's used as. So these will give you some idea of what the word means. If you can do that, you can do even a wider search if you wanted to. This is in the Old Testament, but if you want to, you can highlight the word trusted. As it is there, and then click on study, and it'll bring up all the times that word is used in the Bible, trusted, in all its different forms and so on like that. So,
if I compare the Strong's numbers there, I might find synonyms.
Right.
Now I can branch out for looking at synonyms.
Right.
So that's a lot easier than what you guys were doing the other day of trying to, where am I going to find all these things? It's so easy in there.
For the sake of not having to carry a regular Strong's concordance with you. Or always having to switch windows and go online to Google what does Strong say. You know what I mean? It's more compact in one spot as you're reading.
Exactly. And that's one of the reasons why I've enjoyed this for however many years it's been, 12, 15 years, because, it's just, there's so many tools at your fingertips that you can use. And like you can take this, if you did the number study, I mean, you can take these and some of these verses and put them in here, you know, and go between the verses and put them in your tabs, and then you go back and forth and see how they might work. There's a lot of different ways you can figure to use the text to come up with you know, the answers.
So if you are now looking at a parallel verse, so let's say you went to TSK, it's going to give you some parallels, right?
Yeah.
So it gives you all these things, and what's really nice about this is you just scroll over and the verse pops up.
Yeah.
Which is real handy. So you're looking at parallels, so if you clicked on that, the verse will come up. You can put that in one of the tabs,
mm-hmm.
and then you can go back and forth comparing the passages.
You make a
so
good
why
team.
Do that, and so we can see how that's working.
All right, so I can just put the right click on that, and oh, okay, never mind. Let me go back.
Okay, so you're going to put Psalm 13 in one of your tabs.
Right click on that. Okay, it's there.
So, and then you're going to go to...
Well, actually, that's Psalm 16, but I can just...
can you show them how to do that so they actually see the process?
Well, whatever verse you bring up, like that's, I got Psalm 16. If I just go there, and let's say I'm on
tab two,
I can just use the right click, put it on over tab two, and right click, and it's there. So now I can go there, or I can go back to here. So you can go back and forth, and as you put these in here, you can go back and forth and see how God's using those words in the different places. And it'll help you to understand how it's being used in the verse you're looking at.
So all those tabs are really helpful because you can then very quickly look at parallel studies you're doing on trying to gain a concept of something. So now let's go back to the Psalm, 13:5?
Yeah.
Where you were before, which I made you mess up your tab because you had it.
That's okay. All right, so
this is where your tab helps because I messed you up, but if you had tabbed it, then you just get that and you're right there.
Well, one other thing I wanted to show you here, there's a reference. The R1, that means a reference, okay? So there's a reference there. Now, the problem about that is it's pretty hard to hold it and get down there and click on it to go to the reference.
Okay. You need one of mouse? There's a mouse right there.
Oh, no, I got it. No, you can do it, but the point is you can't. Because there's nothing to hold it. So, I just want to point it out that if you can get those references, you can then, you can jot it down, which is a kind of a problem. They should figure some way to do it, but it's just, so you have references and there's something, there's a note, N1, N2, you'll see those little things. Those are notes, which I don't see any in this context here, but they are, a note that'll say that, for instance, it'll tell you that could be a different word. Okay? If the N1, if you click on it, like, for instance, say there's an N1 before because, then it, when I click on or mouse over the N1, it may come up and say, the reason or something like that.
Yeah, that's the notes that are in NASB. Yeah, the ESB had different notes.
Right.
You have King James that have none of those notes.
So it brings up a note for the text, which is a handy thing when you're looking at it because then you get to see where the words are actually somewhat different. A different word could have been used and might have been used. So it's very, very handy for stuff like that. And thank you for this because I was running out of ideas.
So I'm going to work with you. So now it's on 13:5, and we started going through commentary. So now I've done my study. I've learned what trust is. I found, okay, here's the tense. I understand that. I've got my outline because I read it through many times, like you said at the beginning. I got an outline, kind of how I think I see how the text is going. Now I'm digging in. Now I kind of want to go as, let's make sure I'm not off in left field someplace. Or maybe I want to get a, well, let's go back to what you were saying earlier. I want to get a context for this, okay? David's writing this. How am I going to find out, like, David's life? What setting could this be in? Is there an introduction to this psalm someplace that might give me the setting for when this psalm was written? That would be in some, that'd be something that would probably be shown in a commentary, or maybe in Edersheim. He might have a reference to it.
Right. And,
so in other words, he's written this. What's the context you wrote this? Is there anything that I can find in use or that might help me understand the context of him writing this?
It wouldn't be in a cross-reference of taking this back.
Could be.
Referring to when and where he was speaking.
Sometimes in TSK you will find cross-references that they're tracing it. It might take it to, Samuel or something. It might set it. But there should be some commentaries in here that will
expand on
it. Yeah, no, I don't know if
the Treasury of David actually has a lot of stuff in it. When we go through this whole the psalm, we'll begin with
So if we notice the, I guess it'd be the top of the psalm would have that, or Psalm 13:1, and then
yeah,
it should be tied to it.
So what I did is I hit chapter,
okay,
on there, so it doesn't matter where I am in there, it'll pull up the Psalm 13, and it goes, this is Psalm 13:1, hiding the divine face. Why at all? Why from me? Why so long?
Now, what are you in? See, Treasury David, so doesn't he have like an introduction to the beginning of it that makes you go faster?
This is the chapter 13. Okay. The so occasion, is, thank you.
Okay, that's
Psalm,
what I'm looking for.
Yeah,
so
Psalm,
go there.
The Psalm cannot be referred to any special event or period in David's history, although I don't necessarily agree with that, because I think if you look at the chronology in terms of more or less in David's life when he's writing it, it seems to me that this was my take on it, and actually one of my seminary professors was talking. This was a time when David was being chased by That was the word I was looking for. Don't feel free to pop a word in there if you got it, because that's what my wife does. So it says you can get some idea of what's going on. The thing that we can definitely know is that he is being attacked, okay, and he feels alone. So you can get that a little bit. You can get that from this to some degree. But
So Treasures of David is Spurgeon's comment. That's actually taken from his sermons, right?
Yeah.
But his sermon's on it. Another Old Testament one would be Kyle and Baelish.
Right.
They look, lean a little bit on the spot.
The suppliant cry of one who's utterly undone.
This would all fall under the commentary tab. Yeah, you'd have to download all of those, right?
You'd have to download, and I want you to show them how to download in a minute. So Kyle and Baelish would be an Old Testament commentary. Barnes probably will have a comment on it.
They all do. Whatever has a blue tab up there has a comment.
So, in other words, you can go to all these tabs, and like you said, if it has a blue eye in there, they may have a comment that might help you understand, but that doesn't mean any one of them is right. You may have to do some comparison. But that gives you an introduction, Tom, that gives you a background that might help you set what prompted him to make these statements. Okay? That's what you're looking for.
Right.
You may want to do a study on the life of David, which you really should do anyways, but if you do that, now you can set more of where the psalm is coming from, why is he writing this, what are the circumstances that would prompt this, and when you start looking at the life of David, suddenly you get down to the end, and it makes a whole lot more sense of his trusting, his singing, because he's got a lot of places where he's gone through great turmoil, and then here's what he does.
Right.
So these things will help you by doing these cross references.
Yeah. So you've got all of these tabs that have the, you've got three or four of them that have information on that. And if you go to the chapter, that's a handy, that little thing is a handy tool, because you can eliminate a lot of stuff that you don't need to be looking at this particular time. You go to chapter, you're going to get all the information on the chapter. It's going to be the heading of the chapter text in whatever book that they're taking this from. Then you can go to a verse, particularly, and get some more details on that, on the verse. And then, but it's handy for that. I'm trying to think of other, There may be other texts for not the Kyle and Delitzsch is Old Testament, so you'll get a lot of stuff. But it takes a lot of careful reading on it to get it. So, I'm trying to think of anything else that's. I wanted as I started trying to show them how to download. Wait, okay, now.
So how to download?
Okay, now I'm. What happened? All of a sudden,
I don't know. When I wasn't listening, I was downloading the program this so I could see why you didn't get online. And I've been downloading programs on this.
Well, but I couldn't before. It was all grayed out. Now I can get. Okay, so let's go here.
If you should have got with it.
Yeah, listen, or my administrator. No. So, anyway, what do we want to download? Commentaries? Let's go to, let's go to Bibles. We'll start, we're going to write down this because we still got 16 more minutes. You're here for 16 more minutes, so we're going to pack that.
So this is how you can get stuff on the stuff you downloaded last night.
Yeah, so you just go when you on the download thing, and you got the...
Ooh, Abra Khan.
David.
Great.
Albanian. And most of them are free, by the way. Awahadi, whatever that is.
ESV downloaded for free.
Yeah. So we can go down.
Commentaries.
We're going to get to the commentaries. We're going to go down to the.
Garvey. I like Garvey.
Are these in order?
Or if you have Young's is good by the download.
Are these in order and preference?
Not necessarily. It's actually in alphabetical order.
Okay.
All
right.
So. You can, the ESV, if you don't want to pay for what happened to my...
ESV, I just downloaded it for free.
Yeah, that's
yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. If you don't want to pay for the NAS, ESV is very good. Huh?
Yeah,
they kind of
stick their head and they can
see it. It's a very good translation that's very similar to the NAS. So you can download that for free. Like I said, King James comes with it. The problem with the ESV, the King James is the only one that has the King James Plus, which is the strong letters. And the ESV doesn't have that, right? Yeah. So
it does.
It does.
It does now.
Oh.
It does
have it. Yeah, but the ESV Plus is not like the King James Plus. You know, it doesn't have all the stuff.
Oh, okay.
Wow, that's why NAS is better, but you can tell David that.
So you've got, there's all kinds of different versions in here that you can download. Just pick a few that you will use.
Are there some top ones?
NAS is my top, so.
Okay, after that.
Young's is good.
Yeah, the Young's is a pretty much straight, it is pretty good. It's
didn't see Holman on that.
Yeah, no, I didn't.
I think they just changed the name of that.
Huh?
I don't think they're calling it Holman anymore. I think they changed the name.
Actually, I saw something on one. Then you've got the premium ones, right? You got the NAS, and they have a King James version, New King James. Okay,
you have to pay for that.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you, to me, I would, and the Revised Standard, which I'm, it's just weird that's a, premium too, but, that was the predecessor to the NAS, the Revised Standard, I think, right? Pretty much. It was.
Yes, the American Standard.
Yeah, and then.
So the NAS has a history back in the King James and the American Standard.
So, and then I'm sorry.
Yeah, the Lockton Foundation did a lot of work on that.
I meant Lockton.
Yes. Supposed to be updating it again, and then Matthew Seminary is doing something with the NAS.
So my suggestion would be, if you like the NAS, just go to the Lachman Foundation, or, you know, you can actually just go, let me just see what it is. I have that, so it may not take me there. But go to the Lachman Foundation, see what they charge for the licensing, because it's a one-time license. Once you buy that license, you have it for anything that you want to use it for. And it's a very good translation. How much is it?
20.
Okay.
So worth it?
Yeah, that's absolutely pretty much what it was, $19, I think I paid.
No.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. Just be able to follow along with you.
I think it includes the 77 version.
Yeah, that's part of the
set.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, it is. Actually, my first Bible with NAS was the 77
version. But it actually makes it easier to log us, because I can't figure out how to get the 77 version on Logos. It only has a 95 update.
Well,
and for those who want to know, I'm preaching out of the 77 version, which is why is what he's reading not matching what I'm reading?
Well, I read by old 77.
I'm using an old version because I'm old.
So you've got these are the commentaries. You can just go down and pick, you know, whatever may the Jameson, Fawcett, Brown. I think that's a very important one. Colin Delage for the Old Testament. Barnes is good. I had Clark's, but I got rid of it because
he's back like in the early 1700s or something. Like
what would be the top three commentaries?
You'd probably want Barnes. He actually wrote that, as kind of like a Sunday school commentary. It's fairly simple. And yet he was pretty extensive and he's conservative in his views. You notice it has over in comments, it tells you when it's published.
Yeah.
1847 to 1885, so it's something he kept working on. Matthew Henry, since it's on your computer, just download the whole thing. You don't need the concise.
The conciseness is a lot of things.
Well, if you're digging into it, you want to, it's all there. You can skip through it.
And then what would be the
third? Jameson, Fawcett, Brown is a standard one. Be looking at, but you got to remember a lot of these have a theological bent too. Treasury David is up there. We talked about that one. You definitely want TSK. You haven't had that one, but TSK is cross reference. So that's why I needed that sheet.
Mm-hmm. But you did it after that letter. So.
And what's handy is.
I think you most certainly have enough memory.
That's
not a problem anymore.
They don't take any. The word pictures, Robertson is actually very good, and word studies, Vincent, are good. Those are language based, and that's always helpful. Plus they give a commentary too. And then you got the premium ones. The only thing
this Bible now is commentary. That's BKC.
Yeah.
That's a two-volume set. For a concise commentary, it's still probably one of the better ones around. It was at the product out of Dallas, and they have their 83.
It says 83.
Yeah, 83. They packed a lot into it very concisely, so that's a very good one to have. Because you want a commentary that, the reason you're looking for commentary is you're trying to get enough background to kind of understand it. And they come from a conservative. MacArthur's is on there.
Yeah, down there.
What was the last commentary you just mentioned?
Bible Knowledge Commentary and then MacArthur's. They're on there. They're premium.
Oh, okay.
But you gotta pay a little bit for it. But what they charge is not much.
Yeah.
If you're into word studies, Weiss is that very good for word studies. Maybe if there's a bunch of others that are free, get you into it.
That's a more recent one. Yeah, I haven't done much in the way of adding to my commentary list. And we got dictionaries, which are... And see, what you do is you just click on the ones that let's say I did have Eastman at one time. You just, so it downloads it, and then it doesn't show it up onto your thing until you want it. You can just go in and click on it.
Some of the ones on there, I talked about encyclopedias versus dictionaries. Notice the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia is a 5-volume set. It's free on this.
Yeah, which is it's very handy. I had to reload my computer got messed up and I had to get rid of all, I had to reload everything. So I don't know if I used to have that. I don't know if this will do.
It says installed on yours over on the left side.
Oh, there it is. Yep.
Yeah. Over on the left side, it actually had told you what you had installed and what you didn't. Yeah. Status.
Yeah,
you have that installed.
You also, you tell by the coloration.
Yeah.
The blue is what's left there to be installed, and the rest, the black, is what you have installed.
Dictionary? Well, up there, and there are different kinds of dictionaries.
It would be most appropriate for the
Of what he has up there, Eastman's isn't too bad. Nate's Topical Bible is a different kind of dictionary.
Yeah.
You probably want Thayer's. That's pretty concise. Thayer's is nice to list out also where words are used, but you can do that in eSort just by doing the highlight the strong stuff and do that.
Well, when you highlight, you're choosing, you have to choose in advance what dictionary, whatever dictionary you have open, that's what it's going to give you.
So you probably want Thayer's. Purchase ones, there's going to be some probably better ones down there. Do they have, for Hebrew, you probably want Theological Word Book of the Old Testament, if they have it.
I don't see it. So.
That is worth getting. There is a way to get other, unofficial, I think it's called unofficial downloads. If you go into the Helps menu, it gives you an address for that, but you might be able to find it there. That's a real help for it, especially in Hebrew.
I have it up here in eSword download BibleSupport.com. You can get a lot of different dictionaries.
Let's see if they have it. No.
Well, what's the name of it?
Theological Word Book of the Old Testament.
Sure. I think we have to.
Gleason Archer is the editor. He ties that to Strong's numbers, which is pretty easy. Toward the back, but then you can end up finding the word, and then he gives a pretty good definition of how the word is used in history on it. No
results found. Which does not say that, I could have made a typing mistake for you. But in any case, there are a lot of things on here. There's 136 dictionaries. Anyway, this is another area to go to for dictionary. And by the way, there are actually some things online that will have a kink, like you could look up a thing online and it would have an eSword version that could be downloaded. So, Ancient Hebrew Lexicon of the Bible.
Theological Dictionary of the Old Testament. Gleason Archer's the editor. You know, and a lot of that, as we're continuing through the class, we can, you know, we'll mention about different things you can use or things you may want to add as a module. But the main thing I really want you to get, and Jim, you've done an excellent job of that, is how powerful this program is, and it's free. Mm-hmm. How many things you can get, and most of it's free, or it's not much for what you're getting out of it for downloading these modules. And it speeds up your study time so you can actually get more in depth. And that is, to me, the best reason for using a software program for doing your Bible study is you can get, your time is limited. You can get so much more in depth because of that.
Well, I'm not, there's 136 files, so I'm not finding it, but it may or may not be here, but there are plenty of things that are here that are extra to what you can get in eSword itself, and these are these are not, there's not competition with eSword. These are eSword people that are putting these things up there. So, this message was tutorials, blogs, about you can, so it's a very handy site to have, where you can get some backup for what you're doing on eSword. Yeah, and that is mostly the story. I recognize as I was doing some preparation for this that I probably use about 10, maybe not even 10% of what's available. I use what I have needed to use and quite comfortable with that and didn't want to wander off into the woods. But there is a lot more stuff available that and so it's a great book, with a great tool, rather, for study of the word. So I just want to see something real quick if I can find a note. It's weird. Oh, there's a note. N1. See that? So, it says, I'm looking at here, Luke 4:5, and it says the world, right? Down here. And the N1 is at the end of the thing. I think literally the inhabited earth. So those notes help it when it says the world, you recognize that it's talking about the world. But it's telling you literally the inhabited earth. So that's what the literal understanding of the word. So you can find these little notes all around, which are very helpful. And you've got the references, you've got the notes, and you've got the Greek words or Hebrew, depending on where you are. And that's it. Any other questions? I'm sorry I didn't do as full job as I could have.
No, it's good. It gets her familiar and started and our feet wet, you know, that so much of this is honestly just for us to get started and then go home and familiarize ourselves, especially playing on a computer or program or on a phone.
Yeah, do you have a PC at home or no?
I have, we're Mac people now for the most part, and it's just easier to use and for business and all.
No, that's fine. I'm not
doing it. Basically, you know what? The fact that it was on here on my phone is amazing for me because I'm so much on the road and on the fly that it's not realistic to think I'm going to be packing up a laptop all the time or even books. So the fact that it's on the phone, I'm thrilled.
Well, that's the one of the things that I said when it comes on, you've got to get the tip of the day, tool tip of the day. Read those. Okay, you're getting happy and go through as long as you got next, and you'll learn a lot about ways to use this. So it's very handy. Well, having said that,
okay, I did find it. If you go to the BibleSupport.com you had earlier and type in theological word book, it comes up as Hebrew Lexicon 2.0, which has a TWO2 links.
Okay.
So it is there.
Is it a freebie or premium?
Check on it and see.
Some of the things that you'll get from there, there's an installer you'll need to install, so it puts it in a proper place on your computer. Otherwise, it's pretty hard to get it into eSword without downloading that installer. It's a very simple thing. It takes like 2 seconds to download it, but it sticks it where it's supposed to be, which is kind of important. As soon as
it says that you have to log in to BibleSupport.com, and I'm not logged in, so I don't have an account. But probably worth something doing. It's something worth doing.
Okay. Well, very cool. All right, so Scott, do you want to close this?
Yeah, you have to. Thank you, Jim.
Oh, thank you.
Father, thank you for a very productive morning, as you can see. With the stuff that has been provided this age to help us dig into your word so much more efficiently that we might know what it says and not be left to others telling us, but we can study it for ourselves. Thank you for Jim's generosity in coming out today and helping us understand how this particular program was to aid us in that endeavor to understand your word. We might know you better and walk with you more righteously. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Jim.
My pleasure. Thank you.